Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are thrilled to have on the phone with us. As always, we want to welcome Christy Barse. She's the president of the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Bureau, and we couldn't be more thrilled to chat with you. How goes it?
It goes, Mo. Thanks again for having me on.
Well, Christy, thank you so much. So Chamber Chat is something that we do once a month, and this month you were kind of a slacker. You took this month off, I heard, for Rivertown Days, and you actually took the whole year for Rivertown Days off. You know, but my husband and I were chuckling because on the Saturday of Rivertown Days, what was the heat index? Like 105? And I thought, yep, that seems about right. That seems about the time you should be selling buttons down by the river.
No kidding. It's every year that we're just, I mean, my stress level is through the roof, concerned that someone's going to pass out from the heat. But yeah, it was a very different, it's been a very different July, I will say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, last weekend was tough. I think, you know, it was tough for many people that love going to Rivertown Days and for the businesses that are used to being swamped. And, you know, it was definitely a different atmosphere. But being that we're still kind of smack dab in the middle of this pandemic, I felt good about the decision that the board made. And I will say it was nice to be in the air condition for the hottest day of the summer so far.
Oh, no kidding. Well, I know that sometimes when decisions are made, people, you know, can weigh in early on, but mm-hmm. looking back, what a perfect decision that was, because this, you know, I remember when you made the decision, you know, you were wondering how it's going to look come mm-hmm. the middle of July. Well, it looks just the same as it did pretty much in May. So,
right.
Good call.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's been the hardest thing for all of us, hasn't it? Just kind of that uncertainty of what the future holds. And so you kind of have to just go with your gut, go with the information that you have at that moment and hope that it's the right thing. And so I'm proud to be able to work with a board of directors that was able to make that decision. And we made a decision before a lot of other community festivals did. So it was good to know that it was the right one.
Absolutely, it was the right one. And Christy, you know, the beauty I think about living in Hastings is that though there might not be an organized festival, we have such a magnificent state park in the Mississippi River. We have all sorts of other parks. We have trails, so many things that you can still do to get outside and enjoy this beautiful river town we live on. So that's been nice for people, I would assume.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, our trail system is, people are coming to Hastings to use it. So we're extremely fortunate to have it and, you know, to have the trails out at Carpenter Nature Center that are free to use and are still open. And, you know, and I know that they're starting to do some programming where they can social distance. And we are very lucky to have our trail system and our Mississippi River and still be able to enjoy the things we love.
So tell us how the businesses are doing. What are some of the things that you're hearing from people?
You know, I think that there's just a lot of uncertainty for what our economic future looks like. And so I think that that is the biggest challenge. I think there's a lot of fear that if we do start to see a spike in numbers in our hospitalization stays, you know, are we going to have another shutdown? I think there are concerns about, you know, as we anxiously await what schools are going to do, you know, that affects how employees will be returning back to work. So I think that our businesses are resilient. I think that they are doing the very best that they can with the guidelines and the changes and the hand that's been dealt to them, but there's still a lot of just kind of fear of unknown, what I'm gathering. And, you know, and not all of our businesses are back open at 100% capacity. All of our restaurants are still at 50%. And we sent out a member survey. We're trying to kind of get a handle on how are sales, how are people starting to bring their employees back, and definitely mixed results depending on industry. But overall, as you would expect, the pandemic has had a huge negative effect on our local businesses.
You know, I'm sure that it has, and yet I see three new restaurants that are looking to open. What can you give us updates on those? I think one is called Rooster in the Westview Center. One is a pizza place. Is it New York style pizza? And then there's a Mexican place opening up in the Cub Foods shopping center. So what do you know?
Isn't that encouraging?
It's very encouraging.
Mo, you may know more than I do. I haven't had a chance to connect with these new business owners. But I think that's great. It's very encouraging that they see that we're in times where they can exceed and open up. And yeah, I have not had an opportunity to connect with them. So I don't know much, but it's good to see. And, you know, we just did a ribbon cutting for a storage facility out in the industrial park. So I'm happy to see that we are still having that confidence in some businesses opening up.
Yes. So besides shopping local, what else can we do as a community to help support our businesses?
I think first and foremost, make sure that you are following their pandemic safety plans. So businesses should be posting signs if they are requiring you to wear masks. They should be letting you know ahead of time if, you know, their lobby is closed or, you know, that you need to wait out in your car before you come into the salon. So I would say first and foremost, respect those guidelines because they're trying to keep their employees and you safe. And then in some cases, there are guidelines that are being imposed on by the state. So, you know, if you're going out to eat at a restaurant and you're not allowed to sit more than 6 to a table, that's a guideline that's been set by the state. And so it's important to remember that and respect it and to be kind because our businesses are trying to keep their employees and their customers safe. So I would say respect those guidelines and then also be kind when you're out. And then I would say provide them with feedback. Provide them with positive feedback if your experience was great. Provide them with suggestions if you feel that perhaps there was something they could do that would make you feel more safe so that you continue to come back. But all doing it with a positive outlook and sympathy to know that they've been through a lot. So those are just a few things that come top of mind.
So speaking of businesses being open, tell us about the Chamber of Commerce.
So we, from an operations standpoint, we are still closed to the public. It's hard when oftentimes people come to our office to pick up brochures, and it's hard to control that. They're touching things, and then it's hard to sanitize brochures. So if anyone is looking for information on surrounding communities or information about Hastings, they can call the office and request brochures, and we can mail them out, or they can make a request through our website. And we are slowly starting to get staff back in the office. We have been working remotely, which has been just fine, and now we're kind of slowly getting back into the routine of being back here in the office. So it's been interesting, but we're still doing our board meetings, our committee meetings via Zoom, starting to look at September and hoping we can do our board retreat in person, but time will tell.
What about your ambassador visits? How are those going?
You know, it's different. It's, you know, the thing about ambassadors is that people like to visit the actual business. They like to see the business owner in person. And so we're still trying to conduct them via Zoom. And it's still great to see a business owner's face and to get real information, to be able to connect with them and see how they're doing, you know, how their business is doing during this time. But they've slowed down. It's definitely changed. So as all businesses are doing, we are kind of looking at our upcoming fiscal year that starts October 1st and saying, okay, how are we going to really do things differently in the future so that we're still serving our members to the best of our ability?
What are you hearing from the Chamber of Commerce's across the state? Is it kind of the same thing, or do you have that ace in the hole because you also are a tourism bureau and we're such a picturesque city, we probably have more tourism coming in than a lot of other places?
You know, so what I'm hearing from other chambers and what I'm hearing from chambers in other states is that the chamber model will change and that it's important to start adapting now. And so first and foremost, getting information and providing educational opportunities is going to be top priority. So I am fortunate that I've been able to partner with four other local chambers in Dakota County, and we do what's called a real-time solution webinar for our members once a week. And so we've kind of been keeping up on hot topics and being able to provide free educational webinars. Half hour, we know everybody's busy, but we do that every Wednesday at 8. The other thing I'm hearing is that there's going to be a huge need to continue to advocate as, you know, as our businesses are kind of forced with new guidelines. You know, we are doing absolutely everything in our power to keep the economy open. And so there's going to be that need to continue to advocate and keep that relationship with our elected officials strong and advocate the needs for our business community. So, and then, you know, I think the last thing is just to get community leaders out in front of our membership. So, you know, do webinars that bring community leaders. People want to recognize who they're getting information from. So we're hearing that chambers are moving away from, you know, the multiple networking events during the month to education and advocacy.
And that makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. Yeah.
Do you think that's an evolution that will continue after things settle down a little bit?
I think it will.
Okay.
Yeah. I do. I think that, you know, I think that it's not a light switch, as we know, as we're going into our 6 months of dealing with COVID-19. It's not a light switch. And I think that our healthcare professionals are learning new things every day. And so we're trying to adapt, and we just want to ensure that the policies are ones that will keep our businesses going, because, yeah, it will be very hard as a community to lose some of these longtime businesses and to deal with the lack of commercial tax revenue that won't be there if they're gone. And so we just really want to make sure that we're communicating that to our elected officials so that the policies are ones that businesses can handle.
What are some of the hot topics that you have given some seminars on recently, please?
This week we're doing one with Alina Health Regina Hospital to talk about what healthcare professionals have learned the last 6 months, and then businesses will be able to ask questions, safety questions, and any questions that they might have. We did one recently with the Minnesota SBA director, so the Small Business Administration director, and he was able to talk about all of the programs available for small businesses to take advantage of. And then he was also able to provide information on the changes that are happening with the payroll protection program, which our businesses were very interested in. We did a webinar with an attorney to talk about business liability. That's a huge concern for our local businesses. If someone does get COVID-19, are they at risk of being sued? You know, how can they implement contact tracing? So we did a liability webinar, and we will be launching a new series here soon called How Are You Innovating? So we hope to bring in experts from various industries to talk about how they are adjusting their business model for the future, kind of looking ahead and saying, we know that it's not going to go back to normal, and this is what we are doing to sustain and ultimately thrive. So we should be launching that new series in August.
So you mentioned earlier that the Chamber likes to put community leaders in front of its members. Have you had an opportunity to work with the new superintendent, Dr. McDowell, yet?
I haven't. We have played some phone tag, but we did get to meet. He joined one of the Thrive Committee meetings, so I did get to meet him there, and I'm excited. I think he's going to be a great addition to the Hastings community. He seems to have good ideas. He's coming on with a positive attitude in a time that must be incredibly stressful for the school district. Although we haven't had a lot of opportunity to connect, we did meet, and I think that he will be a great asset for the community.
And it's important, isn't it, that the chamber and the school district and the city and other entities work together?
It's absolutely essential at this time. It's absolutely essential. We all have to understand each other's needs. We all need to be patient and a flexible and sympathetic because we need each other to ensure that our community continues to be as wonderful as it always has been.
Do you think that that's true for larger cities?
You know, I can't speak for all larger cities. I will say that I'm lucky that I can talk to my Dakota County Chamber partners on a weekly basis, and they really compliment Hastings for our ability to partner and to stay up to date on what each organization is doing and what their needs are. I think that larger communities are now starting to do that same thing, but they may not have had that upper hand that we did as a small community because we were already so connected.
Well, that's kind of nice to hear, isn't it? That's a good compliment for Hastings.
It is. It is. Absolutely. Yeah. And we, you know, we've been doing our small business call with elected officials. We've partnered with the Downtown Business Association. And so we've been doing those every Friday for the last 14 weeks. And it's just been so nice to be able to get information prior to it being released. I think any upper hand that our partnering organizations and our businesses can have is going to be the ticket to making sure that they survive and thrive.
Christy, do you see things changing for the better?
I do. I think at the end of this, I think that we will be able to say we went through.
Right.
I can't think of anything that's more challenging than what we're going through right now. And to be able to come out on the other side, we will all be stronger because of it. And I really believe that we will have established partnerships that are not just surface level, that they are true partnerships. We will care what happens to our partnering organizations and, you know, to our residents and our businesses. Not that we didn't before, but it will be a deeper understanding because we all went through it together.
You got that right. Well, let's stay together. Let's shop local. If you have an opportunity to buy something at a big store versus a small store, pick the small store. They could use your business.
It's true.
Yes.
It's true. Absolutely.
Christy, we're so glad you called in today. Thank you so much for all you do as the president of the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Bureau. We appreciate it. This is Chamber Chat, and it's heard once a month on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.